Someone told you knee pain is just getting older? They were wrong. The Joint Relief Institute offers fast joint pain relief covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000, as in zero pain.
Dr. Eileen Marty is with us, as she is at this time every Wednesday morning. She is the director of the Florida International University Health Travel Medicine Program and Vaccine Clinic Commander.
Good morning, Dr. Marty. I have a lot of questions for you. You ready?
Good morning, Bob. I'm as ready as I'll ever be.
Let's start with the controversy now about where this COVID-19 virus originated. Do you think it could have started in a lab or bats? What do you think?
Well, there's a lot that we've been looking at from the get-go, trying to figure out where it came from and how it got into the human circulation to lead to the problems that we have. We know that there are more than 500 different species now that in which the virus can make a home for longer or shorter periods of time. We know, for example, that raccoon dogs, there's been a huge problem with minks in many parts of the world, including in the United States. We know domestic cats and wild cats are susceptible to the virus. We know, for example, tigers and lions have been infected. Gorillas have tested positive. It's a tremendous number of different animals that this virus can use as a host. That makes it very challenging to figure out exactly how it came into the human population. There's current evidence that's suggesting, especially after the work that came back from WHO, which is very incomplete, I might add, suggesting a direct jump from bats to humans is plausible. There's actually quite a number of different bats that we know have similar viruses, and not just in China, but in Japan and Cambodia as well. We have found other bats that have sequences that are very, very similar. But by very similar, we're still talking many, many, many different base changes. So they're not, by any stretch of the imagination, the same virus. But I will tell you, Bob, that this is something that good friends of mine, good colleagues, have been studying for many, many years now, since the first SARS outbreak, trying to understand the different SARS viruses that are there. And as far back as 2007, colleagues have been saying that these SARS virus were a time bomb waiting to happen, waiting to cause a huge pandemic in humans because of the way in which they recombine and can adapt to other species. So the bottom line is there's a lot of natural sources that have to be explored. And also, if you look at the genetic code of the SARS-2 virus that we have, that's been circulating, and of course there's variants and all these little things as we watch it change over time as it gets transmitted, and we realize that there's nothing in that that gives us a hint that it was manipulated in any way. So in terms of whether it came from a lab into the human population or came into the human population naturally, if it came from a lab, it did so by accidental spillover and not by deliberate action, in any kind of deliberate manipulation of the virus. So that's pretty much where we are. It's sort of a lot of questions more than answers, and it's sort of a wait and see situation right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, as they say on the TV newscasts, closer to home, it's here and it seems to be getting worse. Our positivity rate, 4.2%. It's up 1 percentage point from last week. The cases are up 34% around the Chicago area. And, I mean, what's happening here? We're told that young people mostly affected now. Is this country headed for another bad spike, impending doom, as the CDC director said?
Well, It really, like everything else, it sort of depends where these infections go next, right? Right now, yes, you're right. We're mostly seeing it in younger individuals, so that's good. Is that a reflection of the way it normally spreads by itself, or is it a reflection of the fact that in most states in the United States, there's a higher percentage of people who are vaccinated who are older, and therefore they have some level of protection? It's probably a mix of those things. And so I do hope that our vaccines and arms will blunt a further rise. But yes, there is a real potential that we will continue to see a rise that we're seeing right now if people continue to think that that this pandemic is over, when it's really not, unfortunately, yet over. Remember, Bob, this is a race. It's a race between us getting vaccines in arms and the virus transmitting from one person to another, being a variant form or forming a new variant, which can always happen. And if the new variant gives an advantage and therefore becomes a variant of concern, these new variants can overwhelm. We know, for example, that the B1351, which was discovered in South Africa, and the P1 that originated in Brazil, can overcome people's prior immunity that they developed from having been sick from COVID. Those are problems on the one hand. On the other hand, we're again, this is a huge race between modern technology, modern science, modern medicine, and people's actions and the virus. So Pfizer and Moderna, for example, have already modified their versions of the mRNA vaccine to account for changes in the virus from South Africa. And studies in South Africa have recently shown that if you can give people immunity to that B1351 South African variant, that immunity currently covers all the known variants of concern. So now we have to get that version mm-hmm. of the vaccine in arms. And that's just not quite yet available. They're almost finished with the clinical trials for that. There's kind of a mini trial going on. And as soon as that's done, we'll see that version of the vaccine come out that'll cover that. But again, it's a race. So if we can get that going, and that's great, and it'll cover these current known variants of concern, and people don't take those nasty actions that facilitate the spread of the virus, we'll win this race. Mm-hmm. But if people continue to do those sorts of things that do allow for more variants to form, then unfortunately another variant may form that could overwhelm this new version of the Pfizer and Moderna vaccine. Mm-hmm.
We got to get our shots. We got to continue to mask up, back up, and wash up. There is good news this morning. Pfizer says their vaccine is safe in kids 12 to 15, maybe even more effective than in adults. Do you think the same will be true for Moderna or Johnson & Johnson?
I'm certain that it's very, very likely to be true for Moderna, and quite likely to be true for the Johnson & Johnson. We do, of course. I mean, the proper way to do science is to do the experiment and know the answer objectively. So we'll have a wait-and-see attitude, but the odds are way in favor that, yes, there'll be the very similar results for Moderna for sure, and for Johnson & Johnson most likely.
The Cubs and Sox are allowing some fans in the ballparks this season, and they've gone to touchless entry and concessions. But I'm curious about this. How necessary is that? Hasn't it been determined that the virus spreads through the air and not really from touching surfaces?
Actually, Bob, it's really hard to know. As we do contact tracing of people, people are very unsure where they became infected. And although there's tremendous science that shows that by far and away, the easiest way for the virus to get in is via breathing it in, right? There is no data that shows that people are not getting it in other ways, specifically by contaminated surfaces. That just has not been ruled out. And so we actually went over that data just recently at the university because it's a lot to keep surfaces clean all the time. And we needed to know what to do, and we just could not rule out fomites as a mechanism of infection. We really still have to pay attention to that. Not necessarily as serious as the aerosols. The aerosols are the worst. But and on the other hand, we found that keeping things clean in general was reducing all other kinds of infections, diarrheal diseases and so forth. So we'll keep on keeping things clean.
Yeah, I knock on wood, and I'm knocking on my head right now, but I haven't had a cold in a year. And I know the flu is, it has practically disappeared, hasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, these measures that we're doing to help control COVID absolutely help with many other types of infectious diseases.
Well, one more question I want to get in because our listeners keep emailing or texting basically the same question like this. I'm supposed to have dinner with four friends on Saturday. We are all fully vaccinated. However, two of them have just returned from traveling, one from Vermont, one from Texas. Is it safe to dine with them maskless?
So the CDC has determined, and I agree, that in a setting where where you're fully vaccinated and they're fully vaccinated, remember, your risk is already lowered tremendously because you're fully vaccinated. And their risk of acquiring and then projecting enough viral particles, even though they traveled, to cause you to have any illness is very, very reduced. So it is safe.
Dr. Eileen Marty, we'll let you get back to saving the world. Thanks, as always, for your time this morning. Have a great day. Talk to you next week.
Thanks, Bob. Take good care.